Produced by PI Media.
Would you put all of your most sensitive information, your private emails and text messages, your online banking, and all your saved passwords on a device without any cybersecurity software? It's a trick question. You already have. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Checkpoint Research Podcast. I'm Ran Levy.
My name is Aviran Khazoum, and I'm the Analysis and Research Team Leader at Checkpoints Mobile.
Aviran's speciality is mobile device security. In his experience, there's one thing almost everybody gets wrong about his field.
You would not use a publicly available PC without any antivirus or some kind of endpoint security installed on it and access your bank account. You would see that as a big no-no, and for good reason. But a lot of people don't get that the same thing goes to our mobile devices.
Mobile devices don't get hacked as often as laptops do, but they're still just computers. They're subject to the same governing laws, like the law that without cybersecurity software keeping you safe, even one wrong click can spell doom for all your most sensitive data. Imagine, for instance, that one day you visit the App Store. You're looking to download a call recorder, maybe, or a VPN. Cake VPN pops up in the search results. You click. It's free, unlike many of the other VPN apps. The logo is kind of nice. The description reads, quote, "Choose from a range of servers free without an additional cost and safeguard your privacy," end quote. Seems good enough. It's got a rating of over 4 stars, according to 20 reviewers, so might as well try it out. You hit download.
Nothing will pop out straight that would scream, you know, I'm suspicious. There are a lot of apps like that that provide this kind of functionality. And what's more in particular for those apps, that the apps are actually providing the functionality that they promised to the user.
The VPN appears to be working fine, so you forget all about it and move on.
When I inadvertently download one of these apps, not knowing what's behind them, what happens to my device?
When you downloaded Cake VPN, the app would communicate with the CNC server and receive a link to download an additional app. The particular payload that was installed in this particular campaign was the AlienBot Banker and MRAT for Android. MRAT stands for Mobile Remote Access Trojan. Right after the installation of AlienBot, AlienBot would hide the icon of the app, basically eliminating the possibility that the average user will know that another app was installed on the device, and the victim would not be able to easily remove the app from their device. After that, the AlienBot payload would communicate with his CNC server, that could be the same server or a totally different server, to receive a list of package names, basically a list of applications that we want, that the actor wants to attack. Those are financial-driven applications like banking apps or payment methods like Google Pay and PayPal and things like that, all the way to Bank of America, Chase, and other banking and financial apps.
AlienBot is specially designed to target wherever you keep your money. Say, for example, you use the Chase app for mobile banking. Chase has more safeguards than other apps because of its sensitive nature. They use two-factor authentication, for example, and unlike social media apps, where you can stay logged in for months on end, Chase will log you out after a short period of inactivity. AlienBot knows all of this.
AlienBot has the capability of, in the sake of simplicity, I will call it drawing on top of the original app its own window that looks exactly like the login screen in the Chase app.
You enter your login credentials, but instead of the actual Chase login screen, you're actually submitting them to an exact copy of the login screen operating right on top of the original. The copy is AlienBot, wearing a mask. But wait, what about the two-factor authentication?
It's able to grab SMSs from the device.
AlienBot doesn't stop you from logging into the Chase app. Instead, it merely stands in the middle of the process.
When the user enters username and password, the username and password are sent firstly to the AlienBot app, which then the AlienBot app relays the information to the banking app with the two-factor authentication code sent by SMS. Now the AlienBot payload has all of the data that it needs in order to access your bank account. And with that information is being sent to the attackers, so that means that the attacker at any given time have the full access to your financial resources. And with a click of a button, that actor can log in into your bank account, ask for a loan, make transactions from your bank account to his bank account, buy some sort of cryptocurrency to even hide its tracks, and a lot of other activities with the hard-earned money that the victims worked so hard to get by.
So I know that if in my banking app they could perfectly replicate the login page, would there be any kind of clues that if I were paying attention, I could spot on my phone if I were hacked, or no, it's basically invisible?
It's basically invisible. But I don't think that just by sight alone, and if you were paying attention to your device, you would be able to differentiate between the two. And I know that I wasn't able to differentiate between them, and I knew that something was going on with the apps along the lines of our research.
It started with CakeVPN, an app specially designed to seem harmless. Now, attackers can drain your bank account. And really, that's just one of the things they can do.
Imagine the following scenario. You just, you know, go, you're prepared to go to sleep, you're plugging your device to the charger, setting up your alarms, and go to sleep. But then, if you would just look on your device, you will not touch it, you will see the sidebar slides, and then someone clicks an app, or snooping into your personal data, going over your images, your videos, and other stuff like that. AlienBot has integrated a very known component that is called TeamViewer. TeamViewer is basically a program that allows, it's more of a technical support solution to allow trusted people to connect and control your device.
Have you ever called customer service and the representative on the phone asked to connect to your device, your phone, or your laptop? They send you a link, you click it, allow access, and then they can control it from wherever they are. That's TeamViewer. AlienBot uses TeamViewer, just without the part where you allow it.
You just gave access to a malicious actor to your device as if he was holding it. I don't think that anyone that is listening right now would be a fan of someone just snooping around their phones. And they can do basically whatever they want. And the only limitation that they have is their imagination, what they can do, what they want to achieve.
How can an app like CakeVPN get anywhere near an app store? Shouldn't there be some kind of vetting process to weed out such dangerous scams?
In order to get a little bit deeper into that question, I think that we need to understand first the procedure that a developer is going through when submitting an app to one of those app stores.
You wouldn't think it after hearing the story of Cake VPN, but in fact, getting an app approved on the Apple App Store or Google Play is actually pretty difficult. Developers have to submit really clean, secure code because it'll be tested rigorously.
The entity behind the App Store, it could be Apple, it could be Google, it could be Huawei in other cases, will try to evaluate the app in terms of security. They can either statically analyze the app, meaning basically to observe the app itself, look at its code and see what kind of permissions does it have, what kind of API calls does it use and stuff like that. And they can also do something that we like to call a dynamic analysis, which is basically emulating the app or installing the app on a real or a virtual device and monitor the behavior of the device.
A lot of the time, apps don't make it past this evaluation phase. They don't work as intended or they need bug fixes. Many mobile developers have faced the scenario where even some very minor issue caused their otherwise great app to be denied. So getting past the approval process can feel very rewarding.
After the evaluation period, the developer will get a notification stating that the evaluation period is over and now the app is live on the App Store.
All this raises the question. If app testing is so rigorous, how in the world did Cake VPN, not to mention the multiple other apps involved in this campaign, make it through? Well, recall why AlienBot works so well. Banking apps may have all kinds of security features, but the person or persons who wrote AlienBot were fully aware of all those features, so they thought up ways to circumvent each and every one. App stores have rigorous vetting procedures, but the attacker behind Cake VPN knew full well what those procedures are. They had all the time in the world to sit down, think, and design attack vectors to defeat them.
The first vector would be the static analysis evasion, making the app a lot harder to analyze.
This one's simple. Without overdoing it and giving away their hand, you design the code to be somewhat unclear.
So when the app is less readable, you will have a lot more difficulty to analyze the app and see what it does without executing it. Making the security procedures behind the evaluation period to be more relied on things like dynamic analysis.
Even if the human eye misses it, running the app in a virtual environment would surely reveal what's going on underneath the surface. Any reviewer could easily watch as the app communicates with a remote command and control server. And it would be exceedingly obvious that something is wrong when a new piece of software, AlienBot, is downloaded in the background. So why didn't the Google Play reviewers spot such obvious tells?
The actor was able to, I would call it, to implement an off switch for the malicious activity.
Like a light switch.
The actor would just negate the malicious activity. The malware will not try to download any additional payloads. It will not try to install anything on the device. It will basically just provide the functionality that the app promised.
When the malicious actor turns off the malware part of Cake VPN, it looks like a perfectly ordinary VPN app. In fact, in that state, it is.
Cake VPN, and a VPN app that is cloned from GitHub with actual functionalities for VPN client.
Why didn't they notice that these apps were being copied from GitHub?
So taking an open source project from GitHub is something that is being done by a lot of developers, including Facebook, for instance. They're using third-party libraries that allow different functionalities within the Facebook app. So I don't think that there is something wrong with utilizing code from GitHub in this environment.
Google approves the cloned but otherwise fully functioning quote-unquote normal version of the app. Then
the actor just turned on the malicious activity.
Aviran and his team named the Cake VPN malware dropper and the campaign as a whole Class 82. Class 82 was only just starting to get off the ground when CPR notified the Google Play Store and had all the apps involved taken down.
Combining the download count together, and we reach a few thousand victims. All of the apps were alive on the Play Store roughly for 2 months. We were kind of relieved to see that we were able to detect this campaign very, very early in its first step. So not a lot of users were impacted, but unfortunately, a few thousand victims actually provided by accident access to their financial resources to this malicious actor.
So have you figured out anything about who was behind all this? Any clues they left behind?
We don't have the identity of the actor behind it. What we do have is, based on a few of the developer accounts that he had on the Google Play Store, the kind of emails that he was using, and a few other hints along the way like that, we can assume that the actor behind it is of Russian origin. We don't think that this is some sort of an APT, an advanced persistent threat kind of activity. This is thought out procedure that was executed by, we believe, a very small group of people.
Class 82 was very dangerous for a relatively small number of people, all told. It's possible, likely even, that future attacks like it will have equal impact for many more people. Because even if app stores know it exists, preventing this kind of bait and switch is really difficult.
Apple had a few months ago, or somewhere around the year, had a similar kind of approach by malicious actor that concealed its malicious activity during the evaluation period, and right after the app went live, they changed the kind of methodology that the app uses. So I don't think that there is something that Google itself can do or Apple can do in this particular case, because they need sensors on the user's device. They don't have the capability to monitor each and every app, not only during the evaluation period, but monitoring its behavior after it was installed on users' devices.
Since app stores can prevent every possible threat, the responsibility lies with users themselves, you and I. It sounds like homework, but actually protecting yourself against threats like Class 82 is really simple. Like, here's a fact we haven't mentioned yet. When you first download Cake VPN, it doesn't start downloading malware automatically. You have to let it. Like any other app, the first thing that happens when you open it for the first time is that your phone shoots you a pop-up. Do you allow this app permission to access your location, your microphone?
We are all so used to going through the next, okay, yeah, let's go, let me use the app that I downloaded. We want the content that we crave for right here, right now. If someone would stop you from using your device when you install an app and he told you, wait, this app will be able to read all of your SMSs, to track your location 24/7, and it will be able to open the microphone on your device and just record the audience near the audio near the phone, you would not so fast approve the permissions for those apps. But this is what the operating system is telling us. Those are the permissions, but we are so used to consuming the content that we need and the content that we want, so we just press next, okay, and let me use the app.
Cake VPN doesn't ask permission to download malware, but it does ask permissions that allow it to, in effect, spy on you. Yet thousands of people hit allow, and in all likelihood, so would the rest of us, because we do it all the time with other apps. And in general, because we tend not to think so much about mobile security, even though our phones are our most sensitive assets.
Our mobile devices store all of our personal data. They have access to all of our resources, our private information, or even corporate information that sometimes remote employees have access to, especially in the times of the pandemic and coronavirus and all that. So we have to be prepared to evaluate our security solutions and install a security solution from a known vendor on our mobile devices. This is something that a lot of people don't understand when they're using their phones. So the first thing you should do to avoid such thing is to install a security solution. The second thing that I would advise you to do is to only install applications from official stores. I know that in the Class 82 campaign, that wasn't much of a factor, but at least the apps that are entering the official stores have been through some sort of a security vetting. And lastly, I would advise to always keep your operating system and regular apps that you have on your device up to date. I know that it sometimes can be frustrating to restart your phone due to an OS update or something like that. But those updates comes for a reason. And most of the times it's security reasons, to avoid the public being exploited by malicious actors in the wild. So utilizing those three techniques, I think that most of the attacks would be prevented. We still have a lot to go and a lot to expand on, but those are my basic advice.
That's it for this episode. Thank you for listening. For past episodes, visit Checkpoint Research blog at research.checkpoint.com, and you can follow Checkpoint Research on Twitter or follow me at @ranlevy. That's at @RANLEVI. Checkpoint Radio is produced by PI Media, written by Nate Nelson, produced by Guy B. Noon, and edited and narrated by me, Ran Levy. See you next time. Bye-bye.